Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Awesome to meet you all. Some for the first time this morning, and others I've met either a couple of weeks ago when we visited, throughout the weeks, interacting at the school. And most of you are young people who are awesome. I met in the past years at Mondrian camps and gatherings like that. That's how I say hello in my native tongue. I am Samoan by nationality, and we say Talofa in Samoan. My name is Tim. Before we get into our message this morning, from my family to each and every one of you, we just want to thank you so much for your prayers. We moved into our house on Tuesday, and everyone that I've met, every church that we've been to in the area so far, they've all said, hey, we've been praying that you get a house. Word has even gotten up to, you know, Monto. Let's see, they're somewhere around here, the Monto. Oh, there they are, right front and center. Even Emerald, everyone has been praying for us, and we're so grateful that God has answered our prayers. And Tuesday just gone, we moved into a house. Also want to thank you so much for welcoming us to Bundaberg, whether it's been through meals for our family, through accommodation, through looking after our dog Bobo, helping us enroll into school and get the kids settled in school. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It's so awesome to see so many generations in a church. I know that a healthy church is one with heaps of young people, and so I see that this church has a bright future ahead of it. Just a little bit about me. Yes, I do believe that God called me to work as a minister for him, but first and foremost, he called me into a relationship with him as well. So I am a Christian, and these are some of the things that I hold dear. Groups is synonymous with food. So prayer and food, small groups and food, social groups and food, service groups and food. As you can see, I love food. Okay. I also love Bible reading as well as Bible study. I see the two as two different things. These are my hobbies as well. If you invite me to do any of these things with you, I won't be offended. Like camping, fishing, playing sport, board games, and all that fun stuff underneath that as well. I am an introvert, if you're wondering. And I like the way that Simon Sinek puts it. It's about where you get your energy from. So for extroverts, they get their energy from being with people, going out and, yeah, and they come home and they're just so full of energy and they want to get done. Whereas introverts, we go and we be with people and we come home and we're drained, right? So during lockdown last year for COVID, I was at home, I was fine. My energy was right. After a few days, I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go out for about a day, and then I need some me time as well. So if I come across at any time like that person, if you don't know who that is, that's Kawhi Leonard, one of the biggest sort of introverts guys. That person is Mr. Bean, or that person. Of course, I'm talking about personality, not IQ levels or anything like that, or ability to play any type of sport or entertain people. It's just my introversion. My social tank is just running a bit low, and I need a bit of me time. It doesn't mean that I hate you, because I don't even know you, okay? I am big on names, but names are pretty hard for me to remember. So if I do ask you for your name again, and you've told me already, please don't get offended. I just really want to learn your name and get to know you. That's from my family. If you see any of them running around our churchyard, they haven't broken in. No, they're with me. Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mean to put that up. No. That's my number. If you do need to talk, please do take my number down. There's my email address there as well. And between Monday and Friday, the first hour of my day is dedicated to the awesome school, Hope. And then from 10 to 3, you'll most likely get a hold of me Monday to Friday. After 3 o'clock, I take off that hat and put on a daddy's hat, and it's pretty busy at our house with 5 children. And 8 o'clock is their bedtime, and 9 o'clock is mine, so you might be able to catch me in that hour there. This morning, or for the next few sermons that I will present, I want to talk about the church. And this morning's sermon is entitled Ecclesia, the Story of the God Who Calls. Ecclesia, the Story of the God Who Calls. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will speak through me. Hide me in the shadow of your cross, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many varied and beautiful metaphors found throughout the Bible to describe and define God's church. And in these next number of sermons, I'm going to just dive deep into those metaphors to see what we can learn from them, to see the value that God has placed on his church, and also the implications that it has for how a church should function, what a church looks like, and what a church's values should be. And this morning, this is the term that we're going to explore today. It's a term that has been translated from the Greek. This is the Greek ecclesia. And in your Bibles, you'll find it translated in the New Testament as the word church. The term ecclesia. This is what it means. Well, that's what it's made out of. Up of the word is made up of two Greek words. One being ek, meaning out of, and the other being kaleo, meaning to call. An ecclesia simply means a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place or an assembly. In everyday Greek usage, whenever the people were called to come together for a purpose, that group of people, as they assembled, would be called the ecclesia. So then the ecclesia is a coming together of a group of people for a purpose. Not for entertainment, not to simply sit around. It's not an institution. It's not a building. All it is a group of people that have come together. And Jesus picks up this word ecclesia, and the New Testament writers pick up this word ecclesia, a word that describes a coming together of people, and they use it to describe the coming together of God's people who are called out of something toward something for the purpose of something. And it's not a light thought when you really think about this coming together. Because not only does it point to the willingness of the people who are coming together, we all come together out of our own free will, it also points to the authority of the person who is summoning everyone to come together. If we didn't like that person, we simply wouldn't go. But as you read through the word, what becomes distinctively concise and consistently clear is the character of the God who calls. Despite the incompetence and whatever character flaws there are of those who are being called. Our worthiness of being invited into an assembly, into a group of people before God, is therefore not dependent on our inherent qualification, but the authority of the one who calls us. Here's how Peter describes the identity of the people who he's talking to, the dispersed Christians. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The people here are identified as all of these great things, not because they do these great things, but the one who called them out of darkness is great. Their identity then is found in him who calls. This morning, I just want to remind you that we worship a God who continues to call. From the very first page of the Bible, we see God taking something that is void and without form and turning it into something beautiful. And God said, "Let there be light." Isaiah 55 says that God's word doesn't return void, but rather accomplishes that thing which he sends it out to do. And so God, in the first pages of the Bible, that first week of creation, calls all of creation into existence simply by the authority of his demand. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a separation between the waters above and the waters below. Let the seas roll back. Let dry land appear. Let the curvature of mountains decorate the sky. Day three we're up to. Let there be two great lights in the sky, one for the day and one for the night. Let there be beautiful stars up in the sky as well, each and every night. And I'm thankful these past few years living out here, we've really come to appreciate how beautiful the night sky is. Let the waters teem with life. Let the sky be filled with the flutter of wings, the God who calls things into existence. Let the earth bring forth crawling creatures that go along the earth. Let there also be fruit for those creatures. Let us make man in our image. I love the way that one scholar describes God's ordaining of the world. For you see that whatever he created in the first 3 days, he filled in the following 3 days. What he created on day one, he filled on day four. What he created on day two, he filled on day five. What he created on day three, he filled on day six. And then on day seven, the Sabbath that he rests, he fills it with his presence. The authority and the power of God's word is able to call order out of chaos. It's able to call beauty out of the abyss. It's able to call peace out of darkness. The Hebrews have a word, and it's used in their greetings as well, and the word is shalom. And it means peace. But not only does it mean peace, like quietness, like the peace that I get when my kids finally go to sleep at night, right? No, it means peace as everything being in its right place. The God of shalom. If God's word is able to bring this much order, this much peace into a world that was void and without form, imagine what God's word can bring into your life if you would just allow him to speak. The God who calls. As you keep reading the Bible, you flip over and we're in the third page of the Bible and we've already messed up as humans. We've messed it up. And God had every right to just stay where he was. Hey, I told you not to eat of that fruit of that tree. I told you you'd die. Let's just be done with you and I'll just go start somewhere else. No. The Bible says there in Genesis 3 that God came walking in the cool of the evening. Where are you? The God who calls us out. Calls us out of darkness, calls us out of shame, calls us out of guilt. He comes looking because love takes risks. And divine love accepts the risk of not being loved in return. God's call not only reconciles the relationship, it soothes something that he didn't break in the first place. The offended God calling out to his creation, where are you? To think that we serve a God who meets us on our level is both disturbing and comforting at the same time. Disturbing because I know how sinful I am. Disturbing because I know that I'm not worthy of it. And yet comforting because he says that I'm worthy of his love. The Greek philosophers, they took a noun from the Greek vernacular and they used it to describe the wonder of the world being held together. The noun is logos. You say that, logos, that's a noun. And you know, in its everyday usage, the noun just means discourse or speaking or word. And in the verb form, it means to speak. Or to it can also mean to assemble or to collect. And they've taken this word logos, the Greek philosophers, and they said there's something that holds our world together. There's something that gives man purpose. There's something that sets man straight in his direction. It's this logos thing. And John picks up on this in John 1 when he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word there is logos. John is saying all of those things that you think about that is holding the world together, that is setting you in your direction, that is making things plain, that logos that you think about, hey, that thing was in the beginning. And it's not just the thing. That logos was with God. That logos was God. He was in the beginning with God. A few verses later, John says the most deepest thing, that logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, the writer says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to us through the prophets, right? All in the Old Testament. He speaks to people through the prophets and he calls them back into right relationship with God through prophets. Verse 2 says that in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus. And so not only do we see God at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3 coming into the garden and calling him out, now we see Jesus in the New Testament coming in the very form of flesh to call us back into relationship with him. And what was Jesus criticized for? Luke 15 says that he was criticized for accepting sinners. The God who continues to call people out of whatever they're going through and into a relationship with him. This is where we, as an ecclesia, get our identity from. Question is, what are we called to do? How are we called to function? What are we called to hold important? I invite you over the next few sermons to really journey with me as we discover what it really means to be an ecclesia. We will gather that day at the river because of your call. Your call to us personally out of darkness and to walk with you. Your call to us as a church to walk with you wherever you lead. Your call through the ages, Lord, we are so grateful for. If there's anyone, Lord, here who has not yet responded to your call, pray that the Holy Spirit will keep knocking on the doors of their hearts. Take us and keep us as we leave this place. May your blessing remain on us. May you use us, Lord, for your will. In Jesus' name, amen.